One of the toughest jobs in the State Department these days might be ambassador to Russia. That job was conferred just days ago on a veteran career diplomat, John Teft. He arrives in Moscow when tensions between Russia and the United States are as high as they've been since the Cold War. For some insight into how Teft will have to go about his job, we turn to Bob Silverman, president of the American Foreign Service Association. Bob, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so what is the first thing John Teft has to do after landing and getting into that lovely ambassador's residence?
Thank you, Tom. Well, first, it's a pleasure to talk about John Teft. I've known him over 23 years, and he is our most distinguished career Russia hand, and so he's absolutely the right person to represent us in Moscow. And, well, as a first matter, to answer your question, it's a protocol thing that any ambassador has to do when they arrive in country before they can start meeting and having media with the local government. There's a protocol event called presenting your credentials. So he would have to be formally recognized as an ambassador once he arrives in Moscow by having a ceremony where he actually presents credentials. It's a very old-fashioned 18th century practice that still goes on. President Obama accepts the credentials of incoming ambassadors here, and I believe it will be President Putin who will do it there.
And how is the situation different for Teft going into Russia at a time like this versus Carolyn Kennedy going to Japan?
Right. Well, you know, each relationship has its own complexities. I mean, those are both very important relationships, the U.S.-Japan, U.S.-Russia. Of course, Teft is a career professional who has been working on U.S.-Russia relations for three decades and, you know, speaks Russian, has served in Moscow multiple times, including as the deputy chief of mission or deputy ambassador in the 90s, knows the country, knows the political leadership, and, you know, will be at home there. Whereas for Carolyn Kennedy, she is a politically important person in our country and was a signal to the Japanese of the importance of that relationship. But it's new to the U.S.-Japan relationship, but by all accounts has been a fast learner.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, one gets to go to Japan where we have basically very good relations. Teft, as experienced as he is diving into the deep end right away. How soon does he get tough with Putin?
Well, I would think John Teft is like throwing a Br'er Rabbit into the briar patch, you know? I mean, he grew up in the Foreign Service during the Cold War. So conducting relations with a country that is not completely a friendly one, shall we say, is home to him. He knows how to do this. You know, it's a matter of establishing clear communication channels with the right people to build on the areas where we do cooperate well with Russia. Let's keep in mind that despite all the problems we read about in the press, and there are many of them with Russia, I mean, starting with Ukraine, moving on to, many other places, whether it's Georgia, other areas where we have serious disagreements with the Russians and need to communicate that well. There are also areas of cooperation. There's counterterrorism cooperation. There's common interests on stopping nuclear programs in Iran. So if I know John Teft, he will build on those areas of cooperation at the same time as establishing clear lines and communication channels to diffuse crises.
Yes. We're speaking with Bob Silverman, president of the American Foreign Service Association, and you said that, of course, he's spent three decades in and around Russian affairs and Russia itself and speaks Russian.
Yes.
So is it fair to say that he's likely to get a respectful audience from Vladimir Putin, who clearly, you know, has differences with the United States, but he'll see someone that at least took the required effort to learn the language of the country he's now ambassador for?
Yes. Oh, no, there's no doubt about that. He's a known quantity, shall we say, in Russia, and they respect people who have invested in understanding them. Like any other people, they respect that expertise and knowledge. And he's known as a fair dealer and a straight shooter, and I think that's exactly what we need in our relationship with Russia right now. He's sympathetic to their positions, and I'm sure when it comes to their situation. He knows it in great detail, and I don't want to, you know, sort of speak for him. But he, of course, has a tough job, but he's eminently well-suited for it, and as someone who has worked on that relationship, he's seen the ups and downs in it. Again, he was at the center of U.S.-Russia relationships during the heyday of cooperation in the 90s. But even then, it was, you know, it wasn't all a walk in the park. He was also involved in Russia during, and very much he was deputy director of what was then the U.S.-Soviet desk during the 80s, during the Cold War. So he knows the relationship well, and he can probably compare notes on the ending of the Cold War with Putin, who was also a young officer in a different service at that time. So
I have a hierarchy question for you, and I know you've served in the Foreign Service as well. When there is a high-profile, high-stakes relationship like what the United States and Russia has, how much control over the day-to-day and also the strategy does an ambassador have versus Washington?
Well, it's a good question, and it depends on the working relationship of that ambassador with the National Security Staff and with the White House and the senior officials in the State Department. But typically, a lot of that relationship will be going through the ambassador. Not all of it, and it depends. But certainly the goal is to keep the ambassador fully informed about all the phone calls. Certainly when anyone visits the country, the ambassador is included in all the meetings that are being held. That's just practical-minded things for follow-up purposes because, you know, the senior visiting official leaves Moscow, and then who you need someone to do the follow-up from that meeting, and that would be the ambassador and his or her staff. So that it's important to include the ambassador in the meetings when they're held in country, and it's common sense to include that person as much as possible. But it depends, you know, on the nature of the relationship between Washington and the host government. My sense is that right now in Moscow that'll pretty much everything will be going through John Teft.
Does it help when the president says, well, nobody wants to emigrate to Russia, things like that? I imagine that must complicate things a little bit for the ambassador.
Yeah. Oh, it's, you know, when there's, as you put it, a very high-profile big set of issues, you need the right person on the ground to be the sorter outer of all the different priorities and interests. And again, I think John Teft is absolutely the right person.
And a question about his being confirmed. I know that your association has argued for the Senate to hurry up and confirm lots of appointees waiting in the wings. What can Teft do that the acting ambassador could not do?
Well, that's a very good question, and it's a very big difference. So the difference is that John Teft is arriving in Moscow having been personally selected by the president and then confirmed by our legislature, by our Senate. So he does speak on behalf of the entire U.S. people, the U.S. government, and that's a lot of authority, and that'll make a big difference when you have an acting person in the role. I mean, the person is certainly often a great diplomat. I've been in that role in another country for about a year when I was the acting ambassador, but not what they call the chargé d'affaires, but not the, you know, the person who's been Senate confirmed and selected by the president. It's a very different role. And so, furthermore, John Teft comes with the authority of someone who is our senior Russia hand who has worked on these issues for over 3 decades, and knows the issues back and forth. So he comes with a lot of personal authority as well as with this, you know, Senate confirmation. It's an important thing to walk into a meeting and to speak on behalf of the entire U.S. People, and John Teft can do that.
Bob Silverman is president of the American Foreign Service Association. Bob, thanks for joining us.